141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic stay top by a single goal after seeing off Motherwell by 2-0. Rangers win by the same scoreline at Livingston, with Alfredo Morelos scoring again. And after weeks of turmoil, Hearts and Hibs both win and score 9 goals between them. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
On Saturday, we had 4 games in the Premiership and 20 goals. Most of them absolute belters. On Sunday, we had Celtic and Rangers continuing a title race, which leaves them just 1 goal apart at the top of the table. The old game is, as my old pal Jim Kerr used to say, alive and kicking. And don't let anyone tell you differently. Even the mighty Jags went down to 10 men, Alec, and won.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good stuff in the SPFL again. You look at the Old Firm are continuing to steamroll their opponents, Gordon. The Edinburgh Festival were back in town, but is it a one-hit wonder, Hugh? Aberdeen's really hitting some good form as well at the moment, but the big one as well in the Championship, Partick Thistle. It was a much-needed win, Gordon.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch with the show tonight. No point in hanging about. Get your calls in nice and early and let us know what is on your mind. What do you want to discuss? Share it with us. 0141 951 1025. And if you would rather tweet, that's fine. You can do that at Clyde SSB. But it is a Monday night. Before we get to the calls, you two have to make some big decisions. Mm-hmm. Can I have, first of all, Hugh Keevans, your result of the weekend, please?
I am going for Hearts 5, St Mirren 2. A result followed by a press conference at which Austin McPhee, the would-be Hearts manager, blew his own trumpet like no one since Louis Armstrong. And as Louis would say, what a wonderful world.
Alex Ray, your result of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going for Partick Thistle, down to 10 men, Gordon. An important win keeps him in touch with Morton, Alloa and Queen of the South.
Okay, now I was delighted with the shortlist on this one, I must say. Oh. Because sometimes it's quite hard, but you were spoiled for choice. Goal of the weekend?
Well, it's my birthday tomorrow, so I'm calling this the birthday honours list. I may have said about Christian Doige that there was only one thing missing from his game, and that was ability. I now feel honour-bound to give him my goal of the weekend. He got 3. I am going for his second one at St Johnstone. So, Christian, onward and upward.
I'm going for Mikael Miller, Hamilton. Yes, it was a pile driver with a left foot from, I'd say, about 25 yards, Gordon. He's one of the guys that can actually kind of do a lot for Hamilton in terms of keeping them up in the division this year.
Now, this one's a bit trickier this week. I'm going to ask you for your howler of the weekend, which of course can be a sitter, a goalkeeping error, a refereeing mistake, an error by a manager, really anything. The canvas is blank, if you like, but I'm not sure there was too many jumping out.
Well, Hamilton Accies are 2 up at Rugby Park. They're down to 10 men, but they're 2 up. And they're thinking, if we can just get to half-time, wow, this crowd will not like it. And then, El Macrini shot. It wouldn't have beat my 6-year-old grandson, but unfortunately for Owen Fawn Williams, it beat him. Sorry, Owen.
Well, that's ironic, because I'm going for Owen Fawn Williams as well for the second goal.
Poor guy.
He came to punch the ball for the corner and got nowhere near it and couldn't recover for the resulting goal. So all in all, I think Owen Fawn Williams is a really poor weekend.
Do not hang about on the phones. Let's hear from you as early as possible. 0141 951 1025. This is the perfect time to call. You can put your point to Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray, or as he's also sometimes known, Son of Agnes.
Brilliant.
Have you recovered from your own mother phoning the show last night to give her thoughts on the title race?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I missed 3 calls for her on the way back for the show. But what I will say is I've already gave Andy, the producer, the heads up. If she calls again, dump it.
Barred.
Number is barred.
I thought it was a fair point. Hugh,
you can't bar your mammy.
It's gone down a storm, the video on social media. That must be right up there with the most bizarre calls you've experienced in your time on the show.
Without doubt, but the woman's a trier, because I get into Alex's car to go home yesterday after the programme and she was on again. So she does private consultancy as well as public consumption.
Agnes, or anyone else for that matter, get in touch. Let us know your thoughts on yesterday's action. 0141 951 1025. Let's start with the most recent game. That makes sense because we had a bit more time to react to Rangers yesterday. So let's look at the game between Celtic and Motherwell at Celtic Park. Neil Lennon says he was thrilled with the display. He reckons they could have won by more and believes it's now time to just take stock over the international break.
I'm delighted. It's a great performance and another clean sheet, another good win. Thought we could have won the game by more. I don't remember Motherwell having a shot on target in the game, and that speaks volumes for the way the team are playing. They're right back in Glasgow at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning, and they've gone out and played ever so well again today. So I'm absolutely thrilled, really proud of them. Not just the ones that played today, but the whole squad in this round of games. They've been absolutely sensational. A great week. It's been a great few weeks for us, you know, and that's it wins now in all competitions, so I can't ask any more. Some of the football they're playing and you know, the fluidity of the team and the confidence, it's been fantastic. You know, now we take stock. I think some of them need the break because it's been a really heavy load of games for everyone. And the international boys, we hope they go away. They're successful, but they come back fit and healthy. But for some of them, you know, the break will do them the world of good, and we can, you know, revamp them again and get ready for the next round of games.
I think they have to cut Celtic some slack. A friend of mine was at the game yesterday and you know, was unimpressed by the chance taking. However, they did win the match. They are still top of the league, albeit by one goal. And after the exertions of midweek at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome, you have to cut a team some slack sometime.
Yeah, when you're analysing Celtic, probably, or Rangers for that matter at the moment, Alex, it's about more than the 90 minutes yesterday. It's probably taking into account that bigger picture, as Hugh Keevan says, the week they've had, in Celtic's case, the travelling, the run of form that they're on, and just an appreciation that it was just a professional job well done, even if it wasn't by the margin that people would expect.
I think one of the key things you have to take into consideration is the travelling, the amount of games that they're playing, and when the core of the team are regulars. There's 8 or 9 guys in there that are going to the coalface time after time, similar to Rangers, and it is a big ask. And I think if you ask Stephen Gerrard and Neil Lennon, they'll be delighted that there's a bit of downtime at the moment, because it gives them time to refresh, and I mean mentally as well, Gordon, because, you know, it's time after time you're asking to be on top of your game, so physically as well it gives them a break.
Yeah, it was Odson Edouard with the opener. A Richard Tate own goal sealed the victory. Guys like Frimpong coming back into the team. Celtic fans, I wonder if you've got any thoughts as to whether he is the number one right back? Has it gone that far, or is it still El Hamed? You decide. You tell us, which one is it? Who's the number one right back at the moment? Because there's a lot of praise getting levelled at Jeremy Frimpong. Is he ahead of El Hamed, or does the more experienced man still have that jersey at the moment? There's one for you to kick us off. But let's speak to Robert in East Kilbride. As a Celtic fan, Robert, what did you make of it yesterday?
I think the game was great. Wasn't it? Celtic obviously wasn't firing, and some of the passing wasn't great, you know. And we almost got caught out a few times. But the main thing I'm wanting to talk about is the idea that Abramovich is available. Celtic need a centre forward because we're going to. I don't want Edward Eddy to get burnout because he's playing week in, week out. Now, the Abramovich. He did say on television, I know he definitely said that as a statement. He did say he would love to play for Celtic. He's 38 years of age. So, but look what Damien Defoe's done for Rangers. So, with a player like that, he's a big laddie. He's good in the air, and he's no easy to knock off the ball.
Certainly not. I mean, Zlatan to the Scottish Premiership, Hugh. Can you see it? I don't know.
I tell you, I would absolutely, in a Kevin Keegan style, I would love it if Zlatan Ibrahimovic came to this country. I have to be truthful. I have no recollection of Zlatan ever saying that he wanted to play for Celtic. However, if he came here, it would be sensational in terms of the game's profile. I'm not sure that it's high in his list of priorities. If it happened, it would be a sensational coup.
Alex, yes. He is rumoured to be going to perhaps AC Milan, perhaps Man United again, and so on. I don't mind Robert's optimism. What do you think?
If Celtic could pull it off, Gordon, it'd be a remarkable one, because in terms of marketing, he struggles for a bit of confidence, though.
Yeah.
He's a bit shy. So, but in terms of what he bring to the table, you know, you see some of his goals for LA Galaxy. It's not, is it? It's not LA Galaxy, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you look at some of the goals over the piece, I love the fact that he, is it Vela, the guy over there as well, who he was getting in embroiled in an argument with. He referred to him as a mini towards a Rolls Royce, you know, that type of thing. So he'd be brilliant for the game, but. Listen, Ed, the Celtic play with one up top as well. So where he would fit in, I don't know.
Well, let me put it to Robert. Robert, you are right. Celtic absolutely need a striker, but with the likes of AC Milan rumoured to be involved, maybe Man United, could you really see Zlatan choosing Glasgow?
Well, he said it himself. I want to play for Celtic.
When was it he said this?
I think it was tongue in cheek. I don't know. A big smile on his face when I said it. So it might have been tongue in cheek from him. But he did say it. He did say it on TV.
I would, as I say, it would be an almost surreal moment if he came to play for Celtic. But the honest, straightforward answer to the question is, I think the idea of Zlatan warming to the notion of playing in Ross County in Dingwall, I don't think it would be high on his list of priorities. I think Celtic, who knows, maybe Neil Lennon wouldn't want him. I can't imagine why not. But I think he understands that he has bigger places to go.
I googled it just out of curiosity. There does appear to be a quote which says Celtic is a club with a big tradition, a place any top player would want to end their career. That was 6 years ago. That was the last one I could find. But that's not to say maybe we've just not seen it, Hugh. The main consideration for me, I think, would be, would he be willing to come here and play second fiddle to you when it came to outlandish football related statements? Because he would have to. And I just don't know if the ego could handle it.
I would walk to the airport to have the first conversation with Zlatan when I, Kivo, met I, Zlatan. As I say, it would be wonderful. And there is no doubt, again on a serious level, the Celtic fans have to cross their fingers, their toes, their eyes, and hope that nothing happens to Odson Edouard between now and January, because there is no one who can take his place. But Zlatan, I cannot for the life of me see him wanting to play in our league.
Dare to Kevens. Thank you very much, Robert, in East Kilbride. It's 01419511025. Neil Lennon says he can always rely on Johnny Hayes after his man of the match performance yesterday. He's also desperate to keep a hold of assistant John Kennedy. He's been linked with the vacant managerial post at Hibs.
He knows his role in the parameters of the squad, Johnny, and his fitness levels are fantastic. His pace is fantastic. His enthusiasm for the game and his game intelligence is improving all the time. I thought he was wonderful today. I thought he had a great game as the game went on Thursday. So he has been a real plus for me in terms of what we're asking him to do. I thought today he had probably his best game, but he has played in some big games for me. If you look at the cup final, the semi-final, Rangers here in March, he's not let me down. He's played really well in all of the games. He might not be everyone's cup of tea, but he does a brilliant job for us.
Reporting on the papers this morning, linking John Kennedy with the Hibs job. Any thoughts on that?
I don't want him to go for a start, but like, it doesn't surprise me because he's a superb coach, and you know, it's a feather in his cap for John, if that is the case. But as far as I'm concerned, he won't be going anywhere. He's very integral to what we do here.
These are massive times for Celtic. The possibility of 9 in a row. The ongoing story of the Europa League campaign. I'm sure that John Kennedy is as enthused as Neil Lennon and Damien Duff about all of it. Stevie Wood's in there as well. They form a coaching team that has gone from strength to strength. I don't know, I can't speak for John Kennedy, whether he thinks now is the time for him to go into club management for himself. But my guess would be that John Kennedy would rather stay at Celtic at this time.
I totally agree with you. I can't see why John Kennedy would leave Celtic at this present time. You know, I think it was reported at the time that Brendan Rodgers wanted him to be part of his backroom staff at Leicester. So if he wasn't tempted by the English Premiership, why would you go to Hibs, who are stuttering at the bottom of the league?
What about one that I can sort of sense brewing, Hugh, because we discussed it in the studio yesterday. People are bound to make these comparisons. Has Frimpong done enough to become Celtic's number one right back, or is he still having to bide his time?
The phrase I keep hearing from Celtic fans in connection with Jeremy Frimpong is joy to watch. 18, youthful exuberance, attacking with a smile on his face at all times, a joy to watch. He can't play in the European matches because he's not in the European squad. But I think, hazarding a guess, I think the majority of Celtic supporters would rather see Frimpong for that joyful, forward-going exuberance.
Yeah, I think he's ahead of where they anticipated where he was going to be, Hugh. I think in the summer, you know, they were scratching about for replacements. They managed to bring in El Hamid and also Bauer, two quality players. And then Frimpong was a long-term project. He has accelerated up the pecking order. He brings, as you say, a youthfulness, a smile on his face, and he an athleticism bombing up and down that right side. So it's a great position to be, Neil Lennon, at the moment, in terms of what option you have, because horses for courses, you can play Frimpong at will at home, and if it's going to be a tougher game away from home, then you just put in a more experienced player. So it's, you know, he's got.
So does that still mean you think El Hamid is the number one, though? You think he's first?
When it comes to the big games, Hugh, just out of curiosity, see when the kind of knockout stages for the Europa.
Yeah.
Do you have to revise your squad then, Gordon?
Yeah, well, I think. Yeah,
because so he would then come into the fold then, wouldn't he, Frimpong?
I would imagine so. There's certainly another. I mean, if you think about it, last season, players who signed for Celtic in January, then.
Yeah, so I would
have played afterwards.
The acid test for me, December 8th, Betfred Cup final, December 29th, Celtic versus Rangers in the league at Celtic Park. Would you play an 18 year old in both of those games? If it's me, my answer to that is no. I'd have El Hamid if he was fit. However, if El Hamid is not fit, it would be a tremendous display of faith if Neil Lennon put Jeremy Frimpong.
You have him ahead of Bauer at the moment then?
I think for these Rangers games, if you haven't experienced it before, my temptation would be to go for someone who possesses more experience than Frimpong.
Okay, well, you can tell us your opinion on the phone, so 141 951 1025. If you would rather tweet, you can find us at Clyde SSB. What about you Rangers fans then? What did you make of the game against Livingston yesterday? A 2-0 victory, another goal for Alfredo Morelos. Give us your thoughts, and we'll give you the thoughts of Stephen Gerrard after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Rayer here, looking back on another busy weekend in the weird and wonderful world of Scottish football. There was lots happening, lots of goals, lots of incidents. So let's hear from you and find out what you made of it. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Who's been on? Reagan's been in touch. He says, really enjoyed the game yesterday. 7 wins in the spin now for Celtic. Yesterday was the first time I've seen Frimpong up close. He's outstanding, but I would still put El Hamid ahead of him. Interesting take on that debate. You can give us your thoughts on the phone. Scotty's on that. Tonight's first callers caused a real stir on social media. He was Latan to the Premiership. Can you imagine it? Scotty says, it's true, the big man himself said he would love to play for Celtic. Zlatan is a man of his word, says Scotty. He would be unreal for the hoops.
Well, I mean,
he wouldn't get a game. He wouldn't get a game.
Is Eduard better than Zlatan? Is that the debate you want me to start on tonight's show? I'm not going there. I am not going there.
If he comes, do you think Big Eduard's going to sit on the bench? Come on.
We'll save this stuff to a bit closer to January. It's usually silly season for a reason, but I think we're okay.
Is he not at liberty to sign straight away?
Yeah. That's true. But I just mean in terms of these types of conversations, usually take place when things have died down a bit. But you are right, he could rock up any day now if the first caller is to be believed. Right, let's hear from Stephen Gerrard. Rangers fans, this is the perfect time for you to get in touch. What did you make of the game yesterday? I don't really know how to word it any differently in terms of what you make of Alfredo Morelos. Tell me something we don't already know about the guy, because we're speaking about him every day. Come on here, that's your challenge. Tell us something new. Tell us something different that you've not said about Alfredo Morelos. 01419511025. Stephen Gerrard believes they were outstanding from start to finish. He says they had to be, you know, tough to get the win, and was happy with the way Joe Aribo and Scott Arfield reacted, because they've obviously had some substitute appearances recently.
We're very pleased with the last block of fixtures since the last international break. I think outside of the first 15 minutes of Hearts, the boys have been tremendous. Today's performance was outstanding from start to finish. I thought we were totally dominated the opposition, controlled the game. I think you've seen a different side of us today. We were tough all over the pitch, and at the right times we played some quality stuff, so very pleased.
Alfredo just can't stop scoring at the moment, can he?
I thought his moment had gone.
I know he bullied the defender and showed his strength, but I just thought the moment had gone, but only him. Yeah, and maybe JD could dig it out from there and find that bottom corner. It was a great finish, and that gave us the luxury to get some breathing space. Yeah, I was chuffed for Joe and Scott because when I picked the last couple of 11s, it was touch and go with both of them, and I could have went either way with my decisions. So I did feel for them a bit, but them two have shown unbelievable attitude. Of course, they were disappointed, but they've trained ever so well the last few days. And they've come and done what you should do if you're left out of a team, which is contribute and show the manager that you were probably wrong, if you like. So really pleased with their reaction from getting left out of the team.
I'll say about Rangers what I said about Celtic. You need to cut them some slack. They had a magnificent midweek, beating Porto in the Europa League. They could have scored more goals in the second half. The goals from Joe Aribo and Alfredo Morelos were top drawer, but they could have scored more. And for people who live by the bragging rights, there'll be some frustration among the Rangers supporters that they didn't score more and go top of the league, albeit on goal difference. But if they looked a little bit leggy second half, it's perfectly understandable.
Yeah, look at some of his comments here, Steven Gerrard, in terms of, he says, we were tough. You have to be, when you go to Livingston, when you go to Hearts, you go to Hibs, you go to Aberdeen, you go to Parkhead, you have to be mentally strong. You have to put the shift in. We said this prior to the game yesterday as well. You have to roll your sleeves up. You have to earn the right to play. And he's absolutely right in terms of Aribo and Arfield. They responded in the right way because they have to showcase what they can do when they get the opportunity. And now Steven Gerrard has, you know, a headache getting into the next domestic game.
I'll put the same challenge to you two. Is there anything left to sort of say about Alfredo Morelos and his goal scoring at the moment that's not already been done, Hugh? He will not stay out of the headlines.
No, it is to his credit that he has turned himself around. No more petulance, chance taking of the highest order. I don't think he'll be at Rangers next season. I think someone will come in for him in the summertime. And I also think the same of Odson Edward. So to both sets of fans, enjoy them while you may.
I just listen, when you consider that's 22 goals, Gordon, in 26 games, and there's been a few substitute appearances within that as well, it's a remarkable return. I always say, if you get a 1-2 striker, you know, one goal in two games, you know, you're doing well, because you end up, say, 50 games or 25 goals per season. But he is on target to hit 40 plus.
Let's be fair though, the goal yesterday, as good as it was, once he got into that position, it probably was offside. I think that was the view in the studio yesterday.
You know, controversy is with us wherever you go. You know, you look at the Liverpool Man City game yesterday, shrouded in controversy about a penalty that was not given. Morelos was offside. By the same token, you go back to Celtic at Aberdeen recently, they were absolutely magnificent, but one of the goals was offside because Edward was offside by an inch or two. It happens. Some you get, some you don't.
Alex, what was different, what was better about Rangers that allowed them to totally negate Livingston's threat or an improved handling of that threat compared to previous visits there? Livingston weren't themselves, according to Gary Holt, but I assume that Rangers play a part in that. Did they do anything differently? Did they improve on anything that helped them negotiate that game with a bit more ease yesterday?
I think when you look at Golson and Hollander, the way they went about handling Dykes, you know, he was very ineffective. He had one opportunity where he had a swivel and he skied it over the bar. But whenever I was playing against a big centre half, centre forward, you just try and take in and block them in. Nowhere to go. They can't bring it down their chest, and it becomes a fighting match. You.
So that was always your job then. When you played as a defensive midfielder, you would be asked to go in front of that guy so that he can't take the ball in.
Either side, because sometimes what would happen is it was Gavin McCann or Kevin Ball would be on that side. So if the ball's going there, you can't then run away over to try and impact that, Gordon. So we knew what our jobs were, particularly when you were playing against big centre forwards. You just stand on your toes. It's similar to when there's a throw in down the sides. You try and just so that there's nothing that you can control it easily and then bring others into play.
So who did that yesterday? Well, Kamara, Jack, both of them?
Jack and Aribo was the two either side, and they were just going on his toes. And it made it so difficult for him because it nullified his strengths and it became a fighting ball. Whereas if he's allowed to bring it in and bring people into play, then that makes Livingston stronger. And he never got a grip on the game as well. And I think when you listen to Holt's post-match, it was just, you know, it was a very honest assessment.
And does that then help Hollander, Goldson, or any defender in that situation. Absolutely. Because they don't have to go and win it. Is that the thinking,
Gordon? There's times when you end up challenging with the centre forward, and that allows your back line to drop as a four. Whereas if you remember back to Hollander up for the a couple of weeks ago, and when he flicks it round the corner, then there become gaps in your back four. So there's many ways to do it. You can actually go and both of yous compete, or one of yous the midfielder and then drop off. So it depends on the delivery up to Dyke. So, but for me, I think it's a learning curve, because see, experience wise, you see it with Scott Brown. He does it time after time. He just looks where the centre forward's going, and then he just steps across his line. And I think if you're doing that as a midfielder, you have to have all the facets.
Okay, let's get the thoughts of James in Barrhead. Hi, James.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Great show as always.
Thank you, James. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Morelos, I think he's a couple of games away, a good performance against Celtic, for earning a bigger move than they've gone to, just like a big move. Because I know there's been a couple of teams that he's talked about going to, but I think maybe like mid to lower end of the Premiership previously. But see now, I think with the performance he's putting in, I think the only thing missing is about 4 or 5 goals in a season against Celtic, and he could go into like maybe a top team down, top 10 team down south, and maybe one of the bigger leagues abroad as well. So I don't know if it would do anything to his transfer fee, because if he's going to have a bigger team, he might try to push it through. So the club might just want to get what he can. But no, I think he's playing himself into a bigger move now.
There are several ways in which you do that, James. You know, he scores a lot of goals in Europe, which is a big factor. Yes, he's still to score against Celtic, and you're right, if he does that in the cup final and or the league match at Celtic Park on the 29th of December, then yeah, you're playing to a bigger audience by doing so. I just think that he'll be on the radar of plenty of clubs, and there will come a point where he will say to Rangers, I've done my best for you, and in fairness to me, you have to let me go now. And I think that Steven Gerrard would understand that line of thinking. And I think also Rangers will one day appreciate the money that Alfredo Morelos will attract.
James, just elaborate a bit more. So did you say top 10 in England there? Is that the sort of bracket,
so maybe
you think?
I would have maybe said West Ham until they've set the heather on fire this year. But maybe something like that. I will saw a West Ham with a fully fit team. So yeah, something like that, rather than like a newly promoted team. I think he could get in, like maybe help a team push for Europe down south.
Alex, I mean, Hugh's right. Yeah. There are only a couple of ways that our players really catch the attention elsewhere. The main one is Europe, first
Absolutely,
and foremost.
Yeah.
Champions League, first and foremost.
Yes.
Then to a lesser extent, Europa League. James mentioned scoring against Celtic, which obviously would help, particularly if it was one which seals silverware or whatever. I mean, but I think at the moment, only 4 players have got more goals than Alfredo Morelos in the Europa League this season. So you have to imagine that those types of things are causing people to sit up and take notice.
Yeah, absolutely. We said this a couple of years ago when Dembele and that was scoring against Man City. You know, obviously that's the Champions League, the top table. But it most certainly brings you on the radar, Gordon. I was just writing down some of the off the top of my head. I think he scored against Porto, home and away. Hugh scored against Young Boys, Michelin this year, Legia Warsaw. These are all kind of recognisable European teams, and if you take Porto, they are the elite of that group I just said. So he's doing it at that level, but it's not just the goals, Gordon. It's the actual performances and the level of players that he's actually playing against.
Again, I said the challenge was to sort of try and find something new, a new angle for this, but you're struggling, Alex. You always come back to the same things, like his strength, the way he bustles his way. He was absolutely second favourite yesterday against a Livingston defender who looked bigger, who looked stronger, but still got shrugged out the way. Is that like a natural thing based, you know, compared to some of the guys maybe you've experienced?
Gordon, the fascinating thing about Morelos is I think he's only about 5'11". You know, it's not as if he's a 6'2", 6'3" guy that he's just gonna bruising people out, but he has a really low centre of gravity and power. And when people try to get close to him, he manages to roll them. And it's a brilliant kind of trait, because people, how many times have we had people on here, ex-players, pundits and so forth, and they go, why do people want to wrestle with this guy? And yet time after time we see people trying to get close to him, and he just uses his body to his advantage.
You look at the places where he would not go, for example Man City, Liverpool, nah. Arsenal, no. Even Leicester, Vardy, no, not going to happen. But in England there are clubs beneath that level in the Premier League who have fortunes to spend.
I'm going to give you a team here. This is just plunder here, right? And the caller, James, just said there that he felt as if, you know, it's going to be a top 10. Sheffield United signed a guy for 20 million.
Yeah.
And when I look, when I compare the both of them, you know, I look and I see Morelos is a far better prospect. And Sheffield United are up to fifth. So, you know, it's not the realms that someone...
Wherever he goes, he's a golden asset, because Rangers unquestionably, undeniably need money. And they'll get this season out of the way. And then in the summertime, they will, I think, receive an offer that will be too good to turn down.
James in Barhead, good man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's move swiftly on to Paul in Crookston. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Paul.
Hello. Yeah, good. Good show as always. I think this is maybe useful for a quiz question. Maybe one time. but we'll see what you think. Two points I want to make anyway. So one's my quiz type of question. Second one is about Europa League and how Rangers and Celtic are doing. So I'll go to my first point, and then you can tell me whether you want me to give you a second point or whatnot. The way things stand, you know, Rangers and Celtic separated by one goal, so the finest of margins. Now, this might not be impossible, but if they did finish all equal with goals scored and everything else, I'm sure I'll look through the 400-page FPFL rules and whatever, and it said if it's the last game of the season, and listen, it might be a long shot, but hey, Helicopter Sunday happened twice, so anything's possible, I guess. I think the two of them play a final league decider. It doesn't go to head-to-head, and what happens, if I'm right with that, I just want to check if I'm right with that. And secondly, if it's midway through the campaign, I'm not quite sad that when Rangers were 2-0 up and Celtic were 1-0 up, I was checking to see who would be top. It didn't really change. So what happens in a situation midway campaign? How do they differentiate them? Is it head-to-head midway through?
Most goals.
No, goal difference, goals scored. But yeah. I think Paul's asking there for after that, if it was to be...
Neck and neck?
If it was to be neck and neck on that as well. I'll be going on holiday for 6 weeks, Paul, if that happens. I'll leave it to Hugh Keevans.
As Neil Lennon said of the possibility of Celtic meeting Rangers in the Europa League in the round of 16, carnage. Play it behind closed doors.
It's a good question. I'm trying to think, Alex. The possibility of that happening, a one-off playoff at the end of the season.
Can you imagine?
Could we handle it?
Oh, listen, I don't think we could, to answer your question, Gordon, and I don't think it will actually come to that, but I think there's too much kind of permutations in between goals scored, goals against. Will they come to a head-to-head? I don't know. You know, it's, but imagine throwing that in a Monday night at this time, Paul. For God's sake, it's hard enough trying to get through the show.
But
I thought it would be a good one for your show.
But Neil Doncaster, we hand it over to you. A reply by return the post, please.
What's your second point, mate?
Second point there, that was a hard one, that was a chance one. Maybe that's how you got easier. Right, this is just my take on it, right? I know Hugh will probably say, oh, be negative here and whatnot, but just hear me out what I'm saying. I was talking to a friend, going through the coefficiency and things like that, and looking at the permutations of that and how it can all play out. Brilliant news for Scottish football. No, I'm all an advocate for that. But do you think, here comes the negative side, the downside of it is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here or whatnot, if we get a fifth team in, now the quality of football, at the end of the day, it's Rangers and Celtic are pushing this forward. You know, Kilmarnock, with all due respect, but about that part-time team, as Hugh had mentioned, I think yesterday we were saying that. Uh-huh. Rangers and Celtic are doing the business here for Scottish football. But if we get a fifth team in, I think it's harder then, because I think when we do get the two places and whatever, and it's not two guaranteed places into Champions League, it's just two qualifiers.
Yeah,
Hold round. But the fifth team, I think, could actually affect you, because I'm sure the points that the teams get are then divided up. So for this season, they're divided up between four teams.
Yep.
But then next year, they'll be divided up between five teams. So therefore, it's going to be even harder.
That is true. You are right in saying that. This is one I can answer with a bit of confidence, Hugh Keevan. So as it stands, we had four teams which made it through to Europe this season. Of course, Aberdeen and Kilmarnock are out. But whatever coefficient points we get picked up at the moment get divided by four, because that's how many teams we had in it.
Yep.
And Paul's absolutely right. If it were to be five teams, it then gets divided by five and so on and six. So, it's good to get into that position. What it would then mean, though, it would probably be harder to stay there. So it would be great to get that second Champions League spot, but it would be pretty tough to hang on to.
Well, football's supposed to be about aspiration. Now, if Celtic and Rangers, through their endeavours, managed to get us five teams in Europe. They are to be congratulated for doing so. And then you'll have to see how we go on after that. And to be brutally honest, the performances of some of the lower ranked teams in our league in Europe have been, over the years, not just Kilmarnock and Connah's Quay Nomads, over the years, there have been some pretty embarrassing results. So all you can do is hope that doesn't happen the next time around, but you cannot fault Celtic and Rangers for doing well enough to give us an extra team in Europe. They aspired, they achieved, and if it comes about, then you have to take your chances.
Paul, you've put us suitably on the spot. Thank you for your call. That was Paul in Crookston, 01419511025. We're going to hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson after yesterday's game. We'll hear from him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And Hugh, you will be pleased to know I spent the break scrolling through the rules and regulations of the SPFL, and Paul is indeed correct.
Head to head,
it's goal difference first, then it's goals scored, and if all things are equal, head to head after that. And then if that was equal somehow, we would indeed have a one-off game, a playoff to decide who would win the league.
Oh my goodness.
Put your holiday in for that week.
Well, you know, we're talking hypothetically, and Alex Wright, we're a third of the way through the season, so it's a bit early. But to play the game, to have a bit of fun,
yes,
it would be the biggest game ever between Celtic and Rangers.
We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Calls coming in there about Alfredo Morelos. Roger says that Stevie G and Rangers will already have a short list of players to replace Morelos. It'll probably be a very short list, definitely with a priority and preferred target. They'll have been planning his departure and replacement for a few years, says Roger. And another one coming now, this is high praise. This is Alan on Twitter. Alan says Morelos reminds him of
Suarez. Yeah.
Bullies defenders, has a bit of attitude, all sorts of finishes. Might not be at his level yet, but there are glimpses, says Alan. That is high praise from Alan on Twitter at Clyde SSB. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's continue looking back on yesterday's action. Stephen Robinson says he can still take plenty of positives from the defeat to Celtic. He felt they limited Neil Lennon's side well at times, but accepts they were just beaten by the better side.
I thought it was a good performance. I thought our shape worked very well. I thought we contained them a lot. We had a threat in the counter. I thought Devontae Cole was terrific there. Some very good performance by Bevis Mugabe. Young Barry McGrath is in for his, you know, only his, I think, his second game of the season. Some really, really good performances. And, you know, when you limit Celtic to an own goal, and we had the free kick they scored from, you know, we put the free kick into the goalkeeper's hands, and then it's a defensive error after that. But and we got punished, you know. Let's acknowledge it, you know, Decky intercepts the ball and Edward puts it into the top corner. That's a level you're playing against here, and we got punished for it. But there's a lot of positives for us. I thought we were very well organised. The boys carried it out to the letter. Could we have held more of a threat in the final third? Yeah. But they wear you down, and they take a lot out of you, and, you know, credit to the level we're playing against. You don't beat Lazio if you're not a top class side.
I wonder, Hugh, if Motherwell's performances at Celtic Park and Ibrox are a perfect example of where they and where the rest of the league are at this season, where Motherwell can go to Ibrox, can go to Celtic Park, can be very disciplined, can change their team, be very hard to beat, limit Celtic, limit Rangers, do pretty well, but ultimately fall short because those two at home are just in a different sort of level at the moment.
They're too big for everyone. I was thinking about this last night, how emphatic Rangers and Celtic have been against teams of late. I'm not sure that for the foreseeable future, and you can put your own time limit on this, I'm not sure that any club other than Celtic or Rangers will win any of the trophies in Scotland into the future now. I can't see how anyone will beat Rangers and Celtic to win a cup. No one will finish above Rangers and Celtic to win the league. I don't think anyone can win a cup anymore.
Well, mad things can happen in cups, to be fair, Alex, because Rangers and Celtic have been very strong before. They're strong now, they'll be strong again. People do win cups because you get those sort of quirks.
Of
but however, the point we said about them at home this season, when, you know, even Motherwell turning up and yes, making life difficult, and yes, being able to take plenty of positives, ultimately still is ending in defeat at the moment.
Yeah, they've been imperious. You look at the way they go about their business, they have been steamrolling teams. And even when they're kind of off it a little bit, like they were Celtic yesterday, they still dominate, they create lots of chances. And similar to Rangers, I think there's only been one game I've seen this season where it was Motherwell. You know, it was a grind. But other than that, they've been really solid at home.
I'm going over some of the mad things, as you say, Gordon, that can happen in cup tie football. I can't conceive of how two groups of players as good as these two can all conspire to have such an off day that somebody else wins.
No, if Rangers and Celtic played against each other, they would mainly have to beat.
Yeah, exactly. One of them would be
final.
Because listen, I completely understand
the logic. Yeah.
Yeah, because of course they do look very strong at the moment, but that suggests that they've never been this strong, which of course can't be true. Rangers won 9 in a row, and Celtic did similar, and there have been periods in the Larson era and whatever else where, you know, they've been treble winning, they've been extremely strong. It doesn't mean that you just write off from now until the end of time that, you know, teams could win a cup, surely.
At the moment, I mean, I've written off the league. You know, never mind the remainder of my lifetime, your own lifetime, and you're half my age. You know,
I'm less than half your age,
yes,
actually.
Yes, yes, okay. But the league will not go anywhere other than Celtic Park or Ibrox into infinity at this rate. And I just think that the squads are so strong that if Celtic knock out Rangers or vice versa, the one who's left standing will have a nucleus of players too great to be overtaken in a one-off game.
If you are the likes of Motherwell, Alex, you assume then that their seasons aren't defined by games at Ibrox or at Celtic Park. The important thing then must be to still perform in a way where you can take positives from it. You can't match that winning feeling, but actually I'm sure Stephen Robinson sounded pretty upbeat after that yesterday, and same at Ibrox. Is it about just trying to find positives that you then take into the more winnable games?
I think you mentioned it. You mentioned McGabby coming in. I see him a couple of weeks ago, really powerful, gives him another option. But Seedolf, Hilton, all on the bench, Gordon. Actually, if I look at the Motherwell set up, the squad of players behind the scene, they still have Donnelly to come back as well. They have a right good youthful squad at his disposal, and you know they're currently sat in fourth place, which is remarkable because every year they recycle 6 to 8 players and have to bring the same type in. So he's doing a great job.
Just while we're talking about the opposition from yesterday, Hugh, what did you make of the was it a war of words? Did it even get that far between Steven Gerrard and Gary Holt? Steven Gerrard started off saying he wanted more protection.
Yep.
Gary Holt had a bit of a pop back in the newspapers saying that the likes of Walter Smith wouldn't have acted the way Steven Gerrard did.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard coming back out after the game yesterday and saying that Gary Holt got a few things wrong, but there are no issues. It was all a bit of much ado about nothing, I think, wasn't it?
First of all, I'd like to compliment Nick Walsh, the referee, because he managed the game very well. He missed the offside and he was let down by his assistant referee who missed the offside. That apart, in terms of the verbal spat before and after, for me, it amounted to pretty much of a nothing. You know, boys will be boys. Steven Gerrard was trying to put an idea into the referee's head to watch out for this Livingston team. And Gary Holt took the huff because of that and had his say by saying, "We're playing at the Tony Macaroni Arena, not Madison Square Garden. It's all over. They've had their shake of the hands, they've had a beer, whatever, and that's over and done with." But well done, Nick Walsh, because he rose above all of it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is that time of the week, a new week, a clean slate, a chance for you to come on here, beat the pundit and win yourself a signed football. All you have to do is get more football related questions right than Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray. It is that simple. If you want to take part tonight, you need to call right now, 0141 951 1025. You need to call quickly because the lines close when the news starts at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Monday night, which means Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are looking back on all the weekend's big talking points. All of a sudden, Hibs and Hearts found their way to goal again. Hugh Keevans, they managed to win some football matches, something that they've not done. Does that move Austin McPhee closer into the picture to be the Hearts boss. What about those vacancies? We're going to look at the bigger picture across the weekend from the Premiership after we do this.
With the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the pundit time. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray ready to take on Asim from Shawlands. How are you tonight, Asim?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad at all. I'm going to toss this coin. If it's heads, you're up against Hugh Keevans. Good way to ruin his birthday tomorrow by taking the signed ball off him. If it's tails, though, it will be Alex Ray. And it is tails. Birthday boy is off the hook. Alex Ray, I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. He's giving me the thumbs up, Asim, which is good news, which means you have 30 seconds. You're head-to-head with Alex. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep, go for it.
Where did Ryan Fraser begin his playing career?
Celtic.
Who did Raith Rovers beat in the 1994 League Cup final?
Kilmarnock.
Which defender has today withdrawn from the Scotland squad?
Not pass.
How many points are Celtic and Rangers on in the league?
28.
Name any team in Rangers group the last time they played Champions League.
Leon.
Who scored a hat-trick for Hibs over the weekend?
Deutsch.
Okay, let's bring Alex Ray back. Alex, you got us?
Yes.
Great stuff. Same set of questions to you. Some tough ones in here.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yes.
Where did Ryan Fraser begin his playing career?
Aberdeen.
Who did Raith Rovers beat in the 1994 League Cup final?
Celtic.
Which defender has today withdrawn from the Scotland squad?
Pass.
How many points are Celtic and Rangers on in the league?
25.
Name any team in Rangers group the last time they played in the Champions League.
Pass.
Who scored a hat-trick for Hibs over the weekend?
Dodge.
And where did Archie Gemmell begin his playing career?
Derby.
Okay, Asim, what do you think of the competition?
I think it'll be tight, but I think he might have just missed. I can't believe I got the Raith Rovers one wrong.
You've tried to erase it from your memory, that's why.
I think that's exactly why.
And we just made sure we got that question in on a night that Gordon Dale wasn't here, so we didn't have to talk about it in full detail.
Because he scored.
The first one was, where did Ryan Fraser begin his playing career? It is Aberdeen. On the verge of a move to Liverpool.
Liverpool, I saw that
by
today,
all accounts,
yes.
Tonight. Robertson and Fraser.
Great move that would be for him.
Anyway, Alex got it, Asim didn't. So it's 1-0 to Alex. It then went 2-0. Asim, you were kicking yourself. It was Raith Rovers beating Celtic in the 94 League Cup final. So it's 2-0 to Alex. He dried up a bit there afterwards. So which defender has withdrawn from the Scotland squad? It's Liam Cooper.
Cooper, yeah.
How many points are Celtic and Rangers on?
27.
31.
Oh.
Name any team in Rangers group the last time they played in the Champions League. I felt like Leon was a decent shout. Asim, I can certainly remember them playing Leon, but it was wrong. You had the choice of Man United, Valencia and Bursaspor. Do you remember that?
No,
I thought it was quite
tough. Man United, yeah. I think they beat Rangers, was it? I don't know anyway.
Who scored a hat-trick for Hibs over the weekend? It was Christian Doig. Asim, you got that one, but unfortunately so did Alex. So you're trailing by 3-1 at this stage. It didn't matter in the end. Archie Gemmell began his playing career at St Mirren. You didn't get that far, Asim. You only got one on the board. And unfortunately, even though he wasn't vintage, Alex Ray got three. Hard lines to you.
Oh, vintage. He said he was hard.
Good man, Asim. Asim and Shawlands giving it a go on Beat the Pundit tonight. Same time tomorrow if you fancy your chances and you want to win a signed ball. There we go. Yeah, Liam Cooper, by the way, is out of the Scotland squad.
We'll bring you up to speed. I've seen it on Sky earlier on. I was thinking McKenna, but obviously it was wrong.
Typical though. We are not blessed with central defenders. Right. I'm not saying Liam Cooper is the saviour of everything by any stretch, but it would be nice to just have the options.
Well, sometimes you wonder,
time and time again. Scott McTominay was stretchered off, I think, yesterday. So
yes,
chances
of
him
struggling.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder. On top of everything else, has Stevie Clark had an even break since he took over as national team manager?
Yeah, for me, it's the key areas again. We speak about the centre half area issue, which is an issue. The right back area is an issue, and the key one for me is the number nine position. You know, we've really struggled to have anyone of substance score a lot of goals.
I don't think we need to dwell on it too long. We've got a long international week ahead of us. Games on Saturday and then on Tuesday. So we will build up to those a bit later on in the week, I'm sure. Get your calls in 0141 951 1025. I'm expecting lots more to come on the reflections regarding the Celtic and Rangers games yesterday. But any Hearts and Hibs fans out there, what about the weekend? Hearts fans in particular, is that enough to convince you that Austin McPhee could be the man for the job? Or have you, are you adopting a more patient approach? Or maybe you're even thinking, regardless of what he does, there's no chance he should get it for you. As for Hibs, maybe not the same types of questions. There's no chance Eddie May wants it. There's no chance Eddie May is going to get it.
No.
But nevertheless, it was a very good win against St Johnstone. So we'll hear from both those guys in just a second. Let's take another call from John, who is a Celtic fan on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, good evening, Gordon, Hugh and
Hi,
Alex.
John.
Hello.
Hello. No, Hugh, I don't know if you've heard then through the pipeline, apparently, would you call it, there's stories linking young Karamoko with Chelsea. Oh, I mean, I'm just hoping that he remembers what happened to Scott Farouz, you know what I mean? So yeah. I just wonder if you've heard anything, Hugh.
I think it's inevitable that Karamoko Dembele will attract an offer. He's simply so good. It would be not in his best interest to leave Celtic at this particular time, I don't think. Bearing in mind Islam Farouz that you mentioned, I have to suspect that Islam Farouz did not have the correct temperament, because he went down south and he absolutely fell apart. But Dembele, I think, should stay at Celtic for a while longer, both to grow physically and to grow in terms of your own maturity. But it's inevitable, because the clubs from the top 10 in England, when they come, heads are turned. It is absolutely inevitable that if a Chelsea, or once their transfer embargo is over, or a Liverpool or a Man U, Man City, it's inevitable your head is turned and you go.
Just to be clear, that's not something we are aware of at the moment, Alex. No, that's in the absolutely. Pipeline. However, John asks the question. The only thing I would point out with regards to that comparison is Karamoko Dembele has a professional contract with Celtic. He's tied there till 2021. So you're talking proper transfer fee then?
Yeah, absolutely.
If that was to be something that did happen, it is a bit hypothetical at the moment. But just to sort of clear up how those issues are slightly different.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at young Gilmore, he was coming to the end of his contract. They got him for a development fee, whereas this is a proper contract. Oh. So Chelsea would have to pay through the nose to get this talent and pay more a more realistic price, whereas they literally stole Gilmore for was it £500,000 development fee?
Which they didn't was literally steal him.
Yeah, in terms of his value, it's a steal for Chelsea, because, you know, he came on at the weekend again. And it'd be extremely difficult, because the way Frank Lampard's found himself, Gordon, you know, he's managing to play these kids in the squad, and it must be really inviting for young guys, knowing if they went to Chelsea they would possibly get an opportunity. I think that will change when the embargo finishes as well.
I think we have to be utterly realistic about this. No matter who the young man is, we're enjoying our league football. We've got a proper league race for the first time in years. We've had a wonderful weekend. As I said, on Saturday, 4 games, 20 goals. It was, the Saturday's programme was a joy. Yeah. But when you're a young man with your career stretching in front of you, and a Liverpool or a Man City or a Chelsea or a Man United or Arsenal come, you are going to say, that's for me, because this really furthers my career. And who knows if that's even the end of the story.
We maybe are getting a bit ahead of ourselves, so let's bear that in mind. But John, it's been a bit of a strange start to the season on that front, because Karamoko Dembele's been injured. So, well, for some of it, I think he's back fit now. In fact, he's away with the England youth team at the moment, I believe, which is another story.
Oh,
is he still one, John, that you would hope to see a bit more of this season? Because, yes, he's still very young, but he's now at an age where if he is as good as people predict, if he's an absolute wonder kid, then you would expect him to be impacting Celtic's first team this season.
That's what I was going to ask you and Alec there. Do you not think, if he's fit again, do you not think he should be sort of reintroduced into the team, even as a sub in that? I mean, because, I mean, they say the boy's some talent, you know what I mean? And I think if he's, like, don't get me wrong, I know we're firing all cylinders now, but I think if, like, in games he's got a chance to bring him on, Neil, we should bring him on. You know what I mean? I know Neil will give the young boys a chance. I just feel as if he should be reintroduced as well if he's back fit again. You know what I mean?
I think for me, Gordon,
he is only 16.
Yeah, of course.
But do you get where I'm coming from?
Absolutely.
The sort of the story surrounding Karamoko Dembele, his full childhood, has been that he is
a world beater.
Absolute top draw. And actually, those top draw guys do come through at 16 and 17.
Yeah, and I think when you look, I'm absolutely certain that Neil Lynn will have him about the first team. He will see how he is integrating
into
that.
Last season, of course,
yeah,
he?
And he played a few cameos, Gordon, but there's no rush to force this boy in. You just manage the situation. And similar to, you know, Frimpong, if he starts showing signs that he is actually starting to terrorise the Celtic first team, he will be thrown in as quick as a flash.
But I think Karim Okwudembele's physical development has to be looked at as well. You know, he still looks like a 16-year-old boy. And, you know, he's playing up against some big guys. Yes, by all means, every now and then he gets a cameo appearance, but I don't think he's anywhere near being considered by Neil Lennon as someone who should be in the squad week in, week out.
Okay, thanks very much to John. That was an interesting point. Something that got us going. Let's hear from a couple of the, I was going to say managers, but they're not really, they're on temporary charge. Austin McPhee says it was vital Hearts beat St Mirren to give them time to settle ahead of appointing a new manager. He was happy with how they played in the front foot and adapted to his style of play.
It was very important that the club won today to allow the appropriate time to be taken to set the infrastructure for the next period at Hearts, and allow everybody to relax a little bit, and hopefully the performance of the players, the reaction of the players to myself, makes the interim role that I have, makes nobody panic, you know. So I thought today was a very positive performance. We scored 5 goals for the first time since August 2016. We scored 3 goals for the first time in over a year. And we won at home for the first time in 7 months. So, you know, there wasn't a lot to be disappointed about. I also thought that the players showed fantastic resilience when it went 1-1 and 2-1 and 2-2. They continued to play on the front foot, which we've talked about all week. And I asked a couple of players to do things a little bit differently today, and I thought they did that well.
How much of an impact can a result like Saturday have on Austin McPhee's credentials for the Hearts job? Can it have any impact at all? How much sway?
I think he's right in what he says, in that it calms everything down.
Yeah,
there's no need to go chasing around and make sure you have a manager by the time the international break ends. He clearly has a rapport with the players. The return of Naismith is absolutely crucial to the whole deal. He is the on-field general. Austin McPhee clearly sees himself as the off-field general. And Budge can now get the structure right. I think the sporting director should come in first. I wonder if Austin McPhee is more suited for that role than he is the manager's role, but he stopped everyone from running around with their hands in the air, and Anne Budge can take her time now.
This isn't a criticism, Alex, because this is his moment to sort of try and show. But you know, he's very particular to point out after the game, you know, that he identified that Ike Piazza could play out in that right hand side, and you know that they had changed things up, and that the players carried out his style of play, that sort of thing. Maybe just trying to emphasise the role he had. That is not in any way a criticism. I just wonder if it works. I mean, how much would Anne Budge look into these games?
Take that into consideration. I think there's a factor that they're playing St Mirren as Hibs were playing St Johnstone. It was a really interesting listen to Austin there, Gordon, because he is highlighting the great positive things. It's 3 years since we scored 5 goals. You know, we haven't scored 3 goals in over a year. What he's basically trying to do is he's trying to boost his position. My understanding, Austin McPhee has a lot of power in terms of a lot of stuff that's going on behind the scenes in that infrastructure. So I'm sure he had that before Craig Levine left. So how that would change in any way, I'm not sure. But I agree with you in terms of young Walker coming back into the fray before the game, and Naismith. They two guys are pivotal because they're guys that can actually change a match at the drop of a hat. But we go back to what Anne Budge said post Craig Levine: experience and high profile. For me, Austin McPhee doesn't come under that bracket.
Austin's a bullet point presentation expert, and he gave a bullet point presentation there to the crowd after the game.
And rightly so as well.
Yeah, as I said, you know, if you don't blow your own trumpet, who will do it for you? Would he have the credibility in the eyes of the Hearts supporters? I doubt it. I think they're looking for a more high profile manager. But he's absolutely right in what he said. He has now, with the help of the players, bought time. There's no mood of panic. They've bought time because it's not Mr. Right now they're looking for. It's Mr. Right.
And then a 4-1 victory for Hibs as well. Yes. Just I said, I don't know if the statement applies to Edinburgh buses, Hugh, but when you're waiting for one and then two turn up. But two Edinburgh victories at the weekend. Eddie May was in charge following Paul Heckenbottom's departure.
I'm actually really pleased for the team. With the two up top, certainly helped both players. I think Flo was exceptional along with Chris today, and Chris gets the goals. But there was a lot of good individual performances for a lot of players today. And hopefully, and it should be the standard which this club tries to achieve, coming to places like this and really taking the game to Wardham rather than sitting
there. How much did Deutsch need the break of some goals in the league?
I think he needs goals. He's a centre forward, that's what he'll be judged on. But what I would say, he's done a hell of a lot more than that in contributing the team over the last few weeks, last few months. He's just not got the goals that he probably deserved in terms of his hold up play and stuff like that. But delighted for him. And hopefully that continues.
Let me give you two options here. Two arguments to take away from Hibs. First one is, the players are cheating the supporters. Where has this effort been? Where have these performances been in the last few weeks? The second one is, look what happens when you've got a manager who plays Doidge and Camberry together.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, but it seemed to have evaded Paul Heckenbottom. The issue at Hibs is far more clear cut than it is at Hearts, because Eddie May doesn't want the job. And the field is open for Leanne Dempster. Harry Kuehl, I don't think, is the right man for that job. I do not know what he has done so far to even merit being in the frame for that job. It's one that Leanne Dempster has to get right, because she's made a mess of it twice now, with Neil Lennon and with Paul Heckenbottom. But at least it's clear cut. Eddie May and no one behind the scenes wants the job. You go and find the right man then.
Gordon, you know, you talk about important moments within a game and someone's career. I was watching the boy Doidge first goal last night. He has had a trundler towards goal, Hugh. And it's just come beautifully back, and he's tapped in for his first goal. He's given him the confidence to kick on and get his first hat trick.
What about Harry Kuehl, as Hugh says there, sitting in the stands, freezing cold in Perth? That looks like a guy who wants to throw his hat in the ring.
Absolutely. And I think if you take it from his point of view, he has shown up on a cold, cold day up in Perth. He will be assessing the players, and if he gets an interview, Gordon, he will be better placed, because he has information that he wouldn't have if he was sat in a studio down south covering a radio show or something. But the next four games for me are absolutely crucial for Hibs, because that will give us a better idea, Hugh, if things have changed around. They've got Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock and Ross County.
We're going to speak to Charlie on the line very soon. Just something I wanted to tell you about. It's obviously not a Europa League week this week. We take a nice break, because it's been hectic stuff in the last few weeks. So no Europa League this week. But you'll have noticed that Clyde One Super Scoreboard, in partnership with Ladbrokes, we've been covering both sides, home and away, throughout the campaign. So to celebrate that coverage of Celtic Rangers in Europe, we're giving you the chance to win a stunning home entertainment system. Hugh Keevans wouldn't know how to work it, but you will. So if you go to Clyde1.com, you can find the chance to win that home entertainment system there. Go and check that out. We'll take a breather. We're going to speak to Charlie, and we've got a full-time teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
We're going to speak to Charlie very soon on the line. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. I need to set up your full-time teaser. Just in the off chance that anyone is unfamiliar with the full-time teaser, it's good fun, I must say. Oh, I certainly find it fun watching you two. But what happens is, you send the questions in to us, and then we give the pundits the last half an hour of the show to come up with the answers. So do you remember Friday night, David Farrell in Melbourne, yes, Australia, sent the question in, and he actually had a couple of sort of different permutations. So we're going to just stick with it, because it's a nice theme to keep us running. So David, thank you. He sent it into fulltime at Clyde1.com. Ryan Christie is the only Scot to have scored a top flight hat trick this season. Can you name the other 12 Scots who've managed it in the SPFL era? So Ryan Christie is the only Scot who's scored a top flight hat-trick this season. Can you name the other 12 Scots who've managed it in the SPFL era?
Lee Griffiths.
So 2013-14 onwards. Griffiths has done it four times. Well done.
Chrissy Boyd.
No.
Ooh. Cosgrove.
He's not Scottish.
Oh, sorry. Scottish. Naismith.
Stephen Naismith, yes. He did it against St Mirren for Hearts last season.
I was going to say Stevie Thompson, but I'll revise that.
When did the SPF?
The 13-14 season.
Well, what we've got there too.
Yeah, that's two to get us up and running. So can you name Ryan Christie's the only Scot to have scored a top flight hat-trick this season. Can you name the other 12 Scots who've managed it in the SPFL era? Stephen Naismith and Lee Griffiths. You've got 10 to get. Let's speak to Charlie on the line. Hi Charlie.
How are you doing, Gordon?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
It's something that you said about Morelis.
Charlie, it's his birthday tomorrow. You need to be nice to him for one night only.
You say whatever you like, Charlie.
Well, I'm not going to slag you then, lad. It's just a point of view, you know what I mean? What you're saying is that hey, well, can maybe quote me on this, and if you really go there, I know I didn't hear you right. You turned around and said that Morelis wouldn't get people from Arsenal or any other team in the top flight when they come in for Morelis.
No. I didn't say any other team in the top flight. I said there are certain places where he isn't going right now. Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Chelsea, even when the embargo ends. I mentioned Leicester.
Arsenal was another one
that I mentioned, but I didn't say he wouldn't go anywhere in the top flight, but there's a level that's above him at the moment.
I mean to say that the ones that are sitting at the top at the moment, it's all young guys that's playing for Chelsea now because they can't sign Andy.
Uh-huh.
They're doing well, but the thing is, I've watched Arsenal, I've watched Man United, and Liverpool's a class act. But the thing is, don't forget that Gerrard came up to Liverpool, and he'll be keeping Klopp keyed up on Morelis. And I wouldn't be surprised if...
Are you telling Liverpool, me that you think the Rangers manager is marking the card of other managers to offload Morelis?
No, what I'm saying is he'll be speaking to Mr. Klopp about Morelis. Obviously, he'll be talking to him privately, and he'll be telling them, look at the player we've got, Ibrox and out. If you want to come in for him, because somebody else are going to come in for him anyway. So.
Alex, he's a very good player, Alfredo Morelos, there's no doubt. Is he ready to be considered by the champions of Europe?
In terms of Liverpool? No, listen, I often say in the show that there's levels, and unfortunately he doesn't come near the level that these guys are batting at the moment. Now, you're talking about the European Championship. The form that front three have had in 18 months is remarkable. So I think that's a bridge too far for Morelos. As much as I like the boy, I think he'll go somewhere in England, because I think that's where he wants to play eventually when he leaves Rangers. And I think, like I always say, it's usually a stepping stone. These players for Scotland don't necessarily go right into the top four or five of English football.
I mean, look at Andy Robertson. Went to Hull. Now, Hull's nobody's idea of Hollywood, but Andy Robertson had the ability to go on from Hull to get to Liverpool. If a Bournemouth or a West Ham or a Sheffield come in for Morelos, then, or a Watford, then why not?
He's very good, Charlie. I don't think there's any doubt. But is he really ready for the champions of Europe? Is that not a bridge too far? Was what Alex Ray called it.
I think you're really doing the guy a disservice. I think the guy's top class, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've watched. See, Arsenal are absolute rubbish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know they are, but they've also got Lacazette and Aubameyang. Overall, they're not a good side. They're not the side that we're used to seeing. But I mean, they've got two elite strikers there. Surely, Charlie.
Yeah, but they're not doing the work. They're not scoring the goals. You know what I mean? They need somebody who's going to score goals.
I think Aubameyang's record's not bad. I think the problems are elsewhere in that team, but that's just an aside.
Yeah, I mean, for the moment, he is having a wonderful season here. But for the moment, he is not at that level.
Are you accusing Charlie of getting carried away?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Charlie, final right of reply to you.
I wouldn't say that, because as I say, I've watched the top strikers in England, and they're not any better than Morelis. Morelis is stepping into any of these three teams, no bother.
Which one of the Liverpool front three is he better than, or is he better than them all?
Well, as I say, it put it this way, he wouldn't be sitting on the bench anyway.
Well, he'd need to be better than one of the front three then.
Well, in the way that Liverpool play, it would be Firmino, because, you know, he's an out and out number nine, whereas you have Salah and Mane on the side. But
these are conversations I never thought we'd be having, yeah. I must admit.
But listen, it's his opinion, but for me, it's a country mile away in terms of what he has to do. Listen, the thing is, for me, I think he should stay here until the summer, depending where it goes. The offer that Rangers get, because he's on, what is it, 2023 that he's got a contract, Morelos, so I'll be trying to kind of make sure that he stays in the country if we can stay here, because for a Rangers perspective, you know, he's been brilliant for them.
Charlie, it's certainly a good debate. Thank you very much for the call. David is in Cumbernauld. Hi, David.
Evening, panel.
Hello.
David. I just wanted to have two little points, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
The first one being, do you think if Morelos is sold in January, for whatever price he goes for, probably upwards of 50 million, I would guess, would the title go with him, if you understand what I'm saying?
Well, it will not be sold in January for that reason, David. The Rangers supporters would accuse the club of betrayal if they let Morelos go in the form that he's in at the moment. He could be the one that makes the difference between Rangers finishing first and second. So he will not be sold. I think they would have to resist whatever money was put their way in January. And I think Steven Gerrard is on record as saying that he would regard that, he can't stop it, but he would regard it as a mistake if Morelos was let go in January. And I don't think that Rangers are in the mood to give up their chance of the title by selling Morelos in January. In the summertime, yes, but not in January.
David says, would Rangers' chances of winning the league disappear if he left?
I said a few weeks ago, if Rangers or Celtic sold Edward or Morelos respectively, they would effectively be giving up the championship, because they are pivotal. You look at the goals that Morelos is bringing to Rangers, you look at Edward and his general all-round play, resulting in the players in and about him scoring freely as well. So there's just too important, and it's not in their interest to sell in January, regardless of the fee.
It would be in their financial interest. However, this is Planet Scotland, and Rangers want to stop Celtic getting nine in a row, and therefore they'll worry about their financial interest after the league has been decided.
David.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, guys. Short of, I wouldn't even like to put a price mark on him for him to go in January, because for me, if he goes, so does the hopes of our titles. There's nobody out there within our price range that I can think of that could do the job that Morelos is doing. He's on absolute fire there now, and you can tell that because a name like, he's keeping a name like Jermaine Defoe out of the team.
It's a fascinating situation that both of them find themselves in. Rangers, who need money, can't begin to look at the idea of selling Morelos, because the ambition is win the league, qualify for the Champions League, and that'll take care of financial matters. Or win the league, and then Morelos says, I have done everything I can for you, I want to go somewhere else. By the same token, Celtic can't sell Edward in January for the same reason. And Celtic have to investigate that January market. Rangers won't take the chance, sell Morelos, then look for a striker. But Celtic have to, because they cannot expect Edward to go from November to May unscathed without injury. Celtic absolutely need to get another striker in January.
Top man, David, thank you very much for the call. That was 0141 951 1025. David in Cumbernauld, give us a dial on that number. What about the teaser? You got any more?
Go on, Hugh, you must have a couple. I'm struggling.
Stephen Naismith, what? Lee Griffiths, nope.
May, Stevie May?
Yes, would you believe? A couple of times for St Johnson.
I'm struggling now, Gordon.
Alright, we'll get back to it, that's fine. Give you some more thinking time. Let's look back on some of the other big talking points from the weekend. Jim Goodwin says Saturday was as bad a day as he's had in his 3-year managerial career. He says St Mirren were a shadow of the organised team that they've been already this season.
You know, today is as bad a day as I felt in 3 years of being a manager. You know, I've been fortunate in that short period where, you know, relative success with Alloa, and obviously, you know, given the opportunity to come here, we've done okay, you know, we've received a lot of plaudits in terms of how we've been defensively and organised, and the structure has been great. We've not given Manny away prior to today, and unfortunately today we were just a shadow of that organised team that we've, you know, that we've been up to now. And you know, frustrated, disappointed, you know, all of those words, but it's a sore one, and it'll take a few days to get over. There's no doubt about that.
Well, there's no need for me to add to anything that he has said there, because for a man as honest as Jim Goodwin to say this is the worst day in 3 years of management, then he doesn't need me to tell him yes it was. They'd lost 11 goals prior to going to Tynecastle, and then lost 5 in one day. So it was a virtual collapse, and they don't score that many at the other end, at the rock bottom. And at the moment they're in need of care and attention.
Yeah, well, we said that they really struggled to score goals, you know, over the previous weeks, and they managed to get a couple at the weekend. And I think that'll be a disappointing thing for Jim. Having saw the goals and the highlights last night, he'll be extremely disappointed. You know, we're a bit sixes and sevens, but they have to regroup again, because they really need to start picking up points, regardless whether it's just the point or that win, Gordon, because they're in danger of getting tailed off.
The perception I get from the St Mirren fans who call this show and on social media, Hugh, this is a bit of a sweeping generalisation I'm about to make, but up until this point, I'm not really detecting that much negativity or that much panic, because they've been well in games. They were defending well. They've been beaten by the odd goal here and there, and yes, they had problems scoring, but obviously there does become a point. We've now, St Mirren have now played everyone once. You know, they're 12 games in. It's not really that early in the season anymore. They're bottom, albeit only a couple of points behind. So at what point does it start to turn? Because the wins have been, you know, far too rare so far.
Well, they're all right just now. The only consolation they can take is that Livingston, well, let's go to Ross County, who at the start of play this weekend were in sixth position. Ross County have got 14 points. That's only six fewer than St Mirren have. You know, that can change over a couple of games. But they did think of themselves as being defensively sound. Hearts have knocked that idea out of their head. And what we did know about them, and know even more so about them now, they could really do with a regular goal scorer.
I think they've got a couple of home games next as well, Gordon. They've got Ross County, Hibs away to Aberdeen. So you've got to think that, particularly at Paisley, you think you're going to pick up some points.
Just a reminder of tonight's full-time teaser. Thank you to David for sending it in. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's the address if you want to hear your question on the show. He says, Ryan Christie is the only Scot who scored a top-flight hat-trick this season. Can you name the other 12 Scots who've managed it in the SPFL era? You've got Stephen Naismith, Lee Griffiths and Stevie May.
Greg Stewart?
Nope.
Billy Mackay?
He's not Scottish either.
Oh, well, what is he then?
Northern Irish.
Is he?
Think.
By name of Mackay. Surely he's Scottish.
I mean, there's a couple of obvious ones is in it? Here that you've missed, yeah. Ryan Christie's teammates, anyone?
Commons.
Wasn't who I was getting at, but he is also on the list.
Yes. Christie's teammates. James Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's you anymore. I'm going to have to get a clean sweep tonight.
That's it.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
James Forrest, Chris Commons, Stephen Naismith, Lee Griffiths, Stevie May. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray looking back on all the weekend's big talking points. They are also going through tonight's full-time teaser. So first of all, a thank you to David in Melbourne who sent the question in. Ryan Christie is the only Scot to have scored a top-flight hat-trick this season, but can you name the 12 other Scots who've managed this in the SPFL era? You're doing okay. You've got James Forrest, Chris Commons, Stephen Naismith, Lee Griffiths and Stevie May.
Alec has just given me that former manager's skill of just putting the idea into the player's mind that he's not performing well enough. So I've come up Stephen McLean.
That is a wonderful attempt. He's actually done it twice. Well done.
Kenny Miller.
Oh, you're on fire.
And Chris Doolan.
Like a fine wine, Alex Ray. He's getting better with age as he ticks towards his 70th birthday a couple of hours away. He's on fire, the
what
old
about,
fella.
Nicky Clark?
No. Div Reed has got one of the ones that you're looking for. Stuart Bell has got three of the ones you're still looking for.
Good old Stuart.
Yeah, Stuart Bell knows his stuff. It also is because all three of them were for Stuart Bell's team.
Oh.
Which is?
Where does Stuart live?
I don't know where he lives, but I just know what team he supports. And they are one of our bigger teams. They're not in this city though.
Oh. Right.
So it's got to be Hibs or Hearts here.
Or Aberdeen.
Ferguson's not done it, has he? Shinny?
No.
I can't think.
Okay, so how many you got left? One, two, three.
What about did Considine? Andy Considine get it?
Brilliant. Well done. Do you remember it?
Yeah,
you must, because it's not like he's a goal scorer as such. Oh, he scored at the weekend, and a fine goal it was. He actually scored a hat trick with the defender against Dundee. Yeah, it was an incredible performance from Andy Considine that night. He's one of them.
Try to think of a winger for Aberdeen who are centre forward.
Go winger.
I was.
Because Cosgrove's English, Adam Rooney was Irish, so yes. I wouldn't waste your time in the old striking department.
So it was obviously before them.
Let's speak to Neil, who's a Celtic fan in Wishaw. Hi, Neil.
Hello.
Hi, Neil. What's your point tonight?
I just listen, the young Dembele and good player, etc. My young grandson plays alongside him, Rocco Vata.
All right, okay.
Rocco, no, Rudy's son. Rudy played for Celtic.
Ah, yes. Rudy Vata. Rudy Vata's son, Hugh.
Yeah, I remember Rudy well.
And Celtic discovered 2 weeks ago that Bayern Munich, Hoffenheim, and certain other teams were out watching young Rocco. He's a two-footed player, brilliant young laddie. And Celtic's got a great academy team. No, they're unbeaten this season, as far as I know. But Celtic immediately got him on a 5-year contract right away at 14. And he's also the Irish FA phoned him to see if he'll play for Republic of Ireland next week against Poland and Austria, both in Galway.
There we go. Neil's given us a name for the future. Who don't mind that at all. I think I actually saw the tweets about that. I saw Rudy Vata with his son signing the deal.
Let me not get the name wrong, but Liam Morrison, did he go to
Bayern Munich?
Bayern Munich, you know, so that's what was going on. Liam was at Celtic. We're now in a much more developed world where it used to be the case that you made your way through the ranks and then hoped to get a first team game at Celtic or Rangers. But now, long before he even reached that stage, people from all corners come in and lure you away, and Liam Morrison now at Bayern. So young Rocco may be in line for that kind of thing.
Good thing about social media, Alex, it gives everyone that increased access to, you know, to results and reports and talk of players. And for every club, particularly in this city, you're always looking at Celtic and Rangers and who can they bring through. This
Absolutely.
Is a topic we feel quite strongly about. We speak about it a lot. Celtic have had a good record in recent years when you go back to, obviously, Forrest and Tierney McGregor are the three highlights, but then even below that,
Mikey
Johnsons of the world and so on. Rangers are now hoping to sort of follow that, having been a bit behind in terms of introducing people to the first team. I noticed Rangers
5-0 at the weekend.
Their academy beat Celtic 5-0 yesterday, I think it was, in the Youth Cup. So it's a never-ending cycle. You're always looking to see who's next.
Absolutely, and obviously you've just rhymed off a lot for Celtic there. I think it's Rangers are, well, I know Craig Mulholland's literally, you know, he's been there since I was there, but he's actually took the helm what, 3 or 4 years ago. So he'll be hoping to start seeing the fruits of the last 4 years so that they can actually start getting their own through the academy, and obviously contributing to the playing side. And then obviously from a business aspect, you look at some of the figures that Celtic have recouped. So it is very much part of what a club of any stature, whether it's the top two, right down, you look at Hamilton, Motherwell, they're all developing their own.
The world's a different place now. When we were kids, you had a dream about playing for Celtic or Rangers. Nowadays, they're quite happy to go to Celtic and Rangers Academy, but if something bigger comes along, they're off.
Thank you very much to Neil and Wisher, giving us a name for the future. I don't mind that. We always like to keep an eye on things at youth football level. So thanks again to Neil giving us that heads up. I think that'll probably be the final call for tonight, because we're running out of time a little bit. Let's touch on one of the other big results from the weekend. Ian McCall was delighted with the character the Partick Thistle players showed. They went down to 10 men and still won the game. He was happy to show the fans that they had the fight to win the match.
Listen, there's been a lot of lows, but you know, over 8 games we've won 4 and we've lost 4, and if you offered me a 50% win rate for the rest of my career here, I would take it right now. We made it hard today. I think we should have been 2 up at least in the first half. The character they showed when they went to 10 was, I'm thinking it is a red card, although Hoppy just said he thought it was a yellow. I've not seen it back yet. Changed the game. But then, you know, it was great for our fans to see that. Might not have been pretty, but a lot of endeavour and a lot of guts to get the win. And obviously Shea Gordon coming on like that was a bit of a story. He's done that up at Dens Park as well, came on and changed the game for us. So he's under contract next year. I'm delighted about that. So it's a great 3 points. It was great for our fans to see that victory. I just can't fault what the players gave today. In terms of sometimes their play in the first half and their endeavour and guts in the second half, I was very, very proud of them and proud of the supporters. It was a good day. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it was back to the wall at the end, but we don't really think Morton had any real clear-cut chances. You know, when they score 2-1 each, we think, oh, God. And then she goes up and scores again. So it was a great day for our club.
Yeah, they're not isolated, point number one. And it was a great comeback with 10 men. The worry is that Alloa also got a win at the weekend. But as I say, no one's isolated yet. But that division, everyone can beat everyone else. And it's going to be a slog from now until May. What, top or bottom?
You gave Partick Thistle your result of the weekend, yes, Alex. Yes, that's how far you went in your praise.
Yeah, obviously, if they had dropped points at the weekend, Gordon, it could have been 4 or 5 points behind Morton or Alloa. So it was important to get that. And as Ian says, if he can get the consistency, one and one out of every two games, it will catapult him up the table. And it's just trying to kind of get on the on and onward and upwards, Gordon, so that aesthetically it actually starts looking a wee bit better if you're mid-table.
Okay, a couple of loose ends to tie up before the end of the show. The main one is the full-time teaser. Thanks again to David, sending it all the way from Melbourne, Australia. And if you want to hear your question on the show in the future, then you need to send it into fulltime@clyde1.com. Anything at all, send it in, we'll take a look, and hopefully we'll get it out on the show. David says that Ryan Christie is the only Scot to have scored a top flight hat-trick this season, but can you name the 12 other Scots who've managed this in the SPFL era? You're doing pretty well. You've got James Forrest, you've got Chris Commons, Kenny Miller, Stephen Naismith, you've got Stephen McLean, Andy Considine, Lee Griffiths, Chris Doolan, and Stevie May. Just a couple more to get. Oh, I don't like that silence. Ominous.
Clue time.
Really?
Yes, I know you said Aberdeen. And
two more Aberdeen players.
A winger.
Both wingers. One of them's really tough because he's not by any stretch a mainstay in the Aberdeen team, has never really been. But one's a bit easier. Former Celtic player as well. I'll give you his career path, or some of it. Dundee United, Celtic, Aberdeen.
Come on, shoot. And now he's in the MLS.
Yes.
It's Gary Mackay-Steven.
Well done.
Brilliant.
Two to get. An Aberdeen winger, another one. It was against Partick Thistle. I think it was the, it was either the last day of the season or it was close, right at the end of the season, 2017. He also spent time on loan at Dundee. This is a hard one. I just put you out your misery.
Lennon or something, is it?
No.
Initials?
SW.
No.
Scott Wright.
Ooh.
No. I don't think you'll get this one either, if I'm being honest. This guy did it for Hearts against Kilmarnock way back 2014. He is Scottish, though. Has also played for Partick Thistle, for Ayr, for Raith Rovers.
Ryan Stevenson.
Look at that, right on cue. On the eve of his 70th birthday, let me finish you by saying we hope you have a wonderful day. You deserve it. Best wishes from everyone at the show. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.